We were just party animals. No, but I think there was a verse that I think I kind of skimmed over that I did not mean to. Maybe it's coming up. Because it was something that came up in my, as I read, because I read through, all I do to prepare really is, well, I've already studied these books extensively. And I have extensive notes that I've made in my Bible, and sometimes you'll hear me read from them. Beyond that, all I do to prepare is I just read ahead. Usually a couple minutes before I start this, I'll just read it, pre-read it, and then no script. It's just whatever comes to my mind. And that's why sometimes I get a little, I've had to be reminded I need to slow down a little bit. Really thought there was the bit about in much contention. Yes, verse 2. I want to go back to this because we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel with much contention. Okay, that's a word. A lot of times, that's agon. We get our word agony from it. But sometimes they talk about contention is like a bad thing. People are contentious. What it means is they're characterized by contentiousness. I mean, they almost like to fight just to fight. But the thing is, you have to fight the good fight of faith, right? Some could say that, well, Jesus contended with the Pharisees. I mean, there were many occasions with Paul. He would go into these synagogues and he would contend with them over Christ. He would wrangle and argue. But among brethren, it should not be so. We should not have contentions among us, right? And we don't want people who are contentious, meaning towards the body, but we do want to be zealous and bold. Yeah, and sometimes people in the world are going to look at that and say, well, these are contentious people. And I don't mean to be so. Certainly, you know, honestly, I try to avoid it as much as possible. I know some people are going to find that very difficult to believe. But what I mean is, you know, I go into church, if I go into a place that's a church and I know I have a disagreement with them, I don't go in trying to have a fight with them. I just go in and I try to, well, I follow what God is leading me to do. It depends on what I'm there for, how I've been invited, whether I've been invited. If I've been invited, maybe I feel like I have a little more liberty. Certainly if I, if I'm allowed, see, in Paul's time, they had this crazy thing where they would let people come into synagogues. Who, well, if you were somewhat qualified, obviously, because but it was all one religion, the Jews. And so Paul could come in there and he could read from the Torah and he could comment on it. And these days, you know, walk into a church and try that, it isn't going to happen. If you're part of that denomination, it is. But if you're an outsider, forget it. We live in a very different world. And I walk into many churches knowing I could contend with them all day. But one, most people don't want to. They got to get to their football game. Or their, whatever it is they do with their time, you know, lunch. Sitting there and contending over the faith is not exactly in their interest. But I honestly, I know I, and God is my witness, I'm not a contentious man. But we must earnestly contend for the faith. So, sometimes people want to bring in people guilty over things which are, there's no guilt at all. I get a lot of flack on the web about certain teachers I've come out against. And you know what? It's just, it's according to the scriptures. What I'm doing is right. Mark them which walk contrary to the doctrine which you've learned in this word. And I do. And I obey Christ. And that's love. Believe it or not, that is love. What is sin is to know something's wrong and do nothing about it. that's sinful. Back to chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians. I just wanted to go back in that contentious part. There's a lot. Sometimes you have to do things in contention. We're forced to. Not that we're contentious people, though. You know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. You know, charge means you, literally, this word is martyrio. It means to testify. It's the word we get our word martyr from, which means to give a witness or testify, a testimony. You know, you testify to your children as a father ought to do his children. Because these days, fathers don't always really charge their children, exhort, and comfort them the way they ought to. We need to establish those links to our children. They need to be told what we think about things. One of the greatest things my father did for me was to, when sometimes things would come on TV or we'd see things, right? And instead of just turning it off, oh, that's bad or something, he just let me know exactly how he felt about it. Just by expressing yourself. You're giving a witness on how, what's right and what's wrong. And so he's saying, we did this like, we treated you like our own children, not in a condescending way, in a bad sense, but in a good sense. I mean, some people take offense. What are you, treating us like children? Well, treating you like a young, not maybe like a baby, but the way a father would charge a young man in the way he ought to go. I mean, a young man, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. 17, 18. When does it exactly end? Well, I don't know that it does end if you are truly leading in the right way. So that you would, what does he charge them with though? That you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. See, there's this high calling of God. God has called us to something wonderful. He's going to make us his sons. Romans chapter 8. This is a great and wonderful and glorious thing. His kingdom. When he calls us to his kingdom, he doesn't call us just to be like chambermaids in his kingdom. He calls us, as he says in the book of Revelation, he says,